Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast from Perimeter Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Jeff Norris, and I'm joined by my co-host here, Laura Story Elvington. And our goal is to equip you to follow Jesus by exploring the teachings and topics of the Bible, the culture, and life.
This season, we're digging deeper into marriages, exploring how God's design brings life and strength to every couple. We'll sit down with a range of guests, couples and individuals, to talk about everything from money to pursuing oneness in marriage and how the gospel can transform our marriages. And don't miss our final episode when Jeff and Rachel and I will sit down and talk about marriage, and we'll bring together all the questions that the listeners have sent in.
So wherever you are in your marriage and your journey, we invite you to listen, to learn, and discover how God's grace can reshape your relationships. Subscribe now so you don't miss any of our new episodes releasing every Friday. Welcome back to another episode of Digging Deeper, where in this series, we are digging into marriage, and we've had some awesome guests so far. This is our third episode. If you're joining us, maybe you want to go back and listen to those first couple of ones. But this one, we're really excited to have joining with us Brad and Marilyn Rhodes. They are tuning in with us from Kentucky, from Owensboro, correct? Is that where you guys are?
That's right.
Yeah, and we'll tell you a little bit more about why they're joining us in terms of their book, but why don't you first introduce yourselves, guys, and tell us about your family.
I'm Marilyn and Brad Rhodes. We've got five kids, where our nest is emptying quickly. Our oldest is 25 and married, and then we have a daughter that's 24 in graduate school, another daughter that's going to be a senior in college, and we just dropped off a freshman in college yesterday, a son, and then a daughter who's a freshman in high school. So four girls and a boy, and we are in this ministry called Grace Marriage. The Lord has brought us into this, and I'll let Brad share a little bit about how he brought us into this journey.
That was going to be my next question. So Brad, tell us about Grace Marriage.
Well, it was kind of, we had a real interesting marriage ride. So when we started dating, like, I couldn't believe Marilyn existed, much less she liked me. I mean, love Jesus, beautiful, spontaneous, fun. And we just had the most fun dating experience. And our first fight married was at our wedding reception. Once we got married, it got bad quick. I turned to build a law practice because I'm a lawyer by trade. So, I was a civil litigation attorney for 22 years. Marilyn kind of expected that I would pay at least some attention to her, and I kind of let her down there. So,
well, he did when we dated, and we also had this crash fast dating that we don't really recommend. We dated 3 months and we're married 4 months later. Didn't have mutual friends when we met. So it was spending all this time together. And then we got married, moved to a new town. He started a law practice. I started graduate school to get a master's in social work, to counsel. And it all kind of crashed.
Yeah. And then, but then God moved and transformed our marriage. And I don't know how much you want to go into that now, but kind of our story is what birthed Grace to Marriage out of. But
oh, please,
I don't know,
do. Yeah,
you
know, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Because I have some notes here, but it's always better for you just to tell it and keep going, man. We want to hear.
Well, I remember Marilyn would cry a couple, three times a week. I mean, I was great at going to sporting events, great at joining sports leagues, just wasn't very good at marriage. I was building a law practice. And everything was going well in my life, it seemed, except marriage, and I kind of thought, everybody else likes me. What's her problem? But Marilyn would cry consistently. Then one time she came to me and just said, "I don't need you." And I was like, and then she explained.
I didn't say it quite like that. That was a piece of it.
That's how I remember it, because it scared me. And then she said, "And I want to ask for forgiveness." She said, "Jesus Christ is sufficient. My hope, my joy, my security, my beauty, all of it comes from Christ and Christ alone, and He is enough." And she goes, "I'll be your wife and I'll try to be a godly one, but I'm off your roller coaster. My joy, my everything's no longer hitched to you." And so our marriage went from bad to stable, because Marilyn, really leaned into Christ. I mean, she was just the most godly, stable woman I'd ever seen.
Well, that first year, I had gone from, I'm kind of naturally more even keel But then as soon as we got married, it was just, I was up and down based on what he was or wasn't doing. And when you have two selfish people get married with selfish expectations, not the way Christ has designed marriage, it just sets us up to fail. And as women and little girls, we have these idealistic pictures in our head of what marriage is to look like. He's going to be my Prince Charming. He's going to complete me. He's going to make me happy. He's going to make me feel special. And this gift that God had given me in marriage in Brad actually just turned into an idol of something that isn't what we're called to in marriage. So you brought me with these outrageous expectations, Brad with not really any expectations except someone to go to sporting events with him. I mean, he literally, when he says he went to sporting events, if there was a winner and a loser, he's in, you know, watching a T-ball game on TV or run into a high school football game of kids he doesn't know in the rain. Or he joined me in a bowling league. He was trying to get clients for his business where he's listening to staticky baseball on the radio and going to all the UK games. And so it was this, him doing what he wanted to do, me being upset that he wasn't doing what I wanted to do. And it was terrible. And it was a terrible way to start. And the Lord really convicted me, like, I'm your hope. You've put him in the place of me. I'm where your joy is. So God really shifted my perspective on, okay, what have I called you to in marriage? I created marriage as an institution he created for his glory, and it works when we do it well. And we were doing it just like the world. And we both grew up in Christian homes, but it's just, we aren't taught so much on putting legs on what does a biblical marriage look like. And so it took us to from a just a place where I was lonely thinking, is this it? This is all marriage is going to be? To, okay, God, how can I bring life? If Christ came to bring life and life to the full, I can have life through Christ and how I am called to be on mission to love my spouse well. So that did take us from the roller coaster of lots of tears to a stable place.
Marilyn, I am a little confused about you. You didn't come into marriage expecting that you would join a bowling league. I mean, that was
what better way to get new clients?
And I thought marrying a man meant marrying someone obsessed with sporting events.
Yeah,
well, that was just like in Kentucky, at least. Yeah, that's right.
We were in a new city, and I thought, what better way to meet new people every week? I mean, I wasn't really a bowler, but I thought, bowlers don't know lawyers. I mean, I got referrals for 20 years from that league. But I was thinking all kinds of creative ways to bring in new clients.
That's amazing.
I was growing.
Go ahead.
Okay. So go ahead.
Sorry. On a serious note, I'd love to hear, and maybe you ask your question because this is probably where you're going.
Same way. Okay. So you go from broken to stable. What happened after that?
That was literally the question I was going to ask.
It may have been when I was saved. I mean, when I met Marilyn, I made a lot of changes for her because I didn't want to get broken up with. But in retrospect, it really wasn't that of obedience to God. It was more of, I want Marilyn. And then probably a year into our marriage, somebody forced me to go to a marriage conference. And I say forced, I mean, I said no three times, cleared my schedule of work, cleared my schedule at home, bought my ticket, invited Marilyn's dad, and then called me. And I went, and I didn't want to go. And scripture was put up, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. And I was asked, what do you give up for Marilyn? And I couldn't come up with anything. I did whatever I wanted to do. Live with your wife in an understanding way. I never just sat and listened to her and got into her world. And I just was just convicted. I was a horrible husband. I didn't show interest in her. I didn't spend time with her. I didn't lay down anything for her. Husbands, don't be harsh with your wives was put up, and sarcastic, rude, witty. I mean, she would cry and laugh at the same time because, you know, I was mean, funny, you know? So I came home and I said, babe, the only thing that's going to be different is everything. And I said, I don't want you to believe me because I wouldn't believe me. But in 5 years, you'll know God changed your husband. So I don't care if you believe me or not. Everything's changing today. And it did. And so we started having an absolute blast in marriage. Marilyn was relying on Christ. I was intentionally pursuing, you know, a really cool marriage. And we just started having an absolute blast. I mean, that's So and we've been on a date once a week for the last 29 years. And, you know, our next one's Wednesday night. So
we also had couples ahead of us pouring into us. And that's a huge piece as well to have. And I was praying for that. Lord, bring us Christian friends, bring us people that can help us, because you need people helping you and coming alongside you. And it wasn't like once he went there that it was perfect at that point. I mean, we still had struggles, but when we both shifted from a selfish mentality to a servant-hearted mentality and putting Christ at the center, it changed everything.
I told her, I said, you know, I just thought, if Christ laid down his life for me, I can lay down sports for Marilyn. That's not that big a ask. I mean, it seems like a big ask, but it's not. And then the interesting thing was within 6 months, Marilyn's buying me SEC tournament tickets. You know, so it's just like, I mean, and then now we're, you know, now we tailgate and do all the stuff together. And it's when you consider the interest of others above your own, as it calls us to, marriage works better and we're happier.
So you came home and said, nothing has to change, but everything. However you just said it. What were you thinking, Marilyn? Were you thinking, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it? Or like, what? How did your heart become open to this, where you had probably been in a little bit of a self-protective mode before then?
I didn't believe him totally at first. Brad's kind of a all or nothing guy. He can be a little compulsive in his personality. So I thought this might last a little while and then fade, but it didn't. It didn't. And it was him having another man pouring into him. I had a woman pouring into me. They started sharing with us books to read, tools to use. They were the ones that said, they were a couple that had a beautiful marriage. And they were like, you need to date on a weekly basis and make it a priority before you have kids. And then that way it'll be easier when you have kids. And so having others pouring into us was a huge piece of it as well. But I didn't at the beginning. I was still a little guarded and I didn't want to get my hopes up. And I just kept praying, and it was a gift. It was a change. It was a shift for both of us. And then that's ultimately how the Lord used us to get involved in marriage ministry.
Well, speaking of, you guys have written a book, The Grace Marriage, How the Gospel and Intentionality Transform Your Relationship. And, This is for those that are looking and watching online on YouTube. This is what it looks like. For those listening on our podcast, just Google that, The Grace Marriage. Wonderful, wonderful resource. I think I know the answer to this. One of the opening lines in the book is, the honeymoon was over before the honeymoon was over. Is that in reference to your relationship and all that you kind of just explained to us? So maybe comment on that, but I'll follow that up with, and this might be more where you want to speak to, you know, there's many spouses that are probably feeling a bit guilty to admit that they feel disillusioned or disappointed in their marriage. But speak to how that's actually probably or is a good place to start, and admitting that and owning it and facing reality can be a good thing.
That's exactly right. That's where the Lord broke my heart to my sin in it. Because that's the question I was asking. Is this it? I'm lonely. I feel isolated and he doesn't understand me. This is not what I thought it was going to be. And being in a broken place is where the Lord works the most. It's not when we're prideful or think we have it together and pointing fingers at someone else. So I think when we're disillusioned, we realize we can't do anything in our own strength apart from the Lord.
And being authentic and vulnerable, it's like Marilyn would ask to talk to a third party when we were struggling early on. I said, look, we're not airing our dirty laundry to other people. It's just basically, I didn't realize, but I was more worried about the perception of others about me. Mm-hmm. People thought highly of me and I didn't want Marilyn to mess that up. But since then, just realizing our hope's in grace, not performance. And, you know, I don't care what people know. It's like recent. We had to bring in a third party to help us work better together. We learned that we're better. We're married together better than we work together. Because she's like, "Bro, I love being married to you. How do you not like working with you?" And we had to dig through that and figure it out. But it didn't bother me at all. It's just I had issues. I had deficiencies. I had to work through pride. And you know, I wasn't used to as a lawyer. I didn't like run case decisions by her. So I wouldn't used to her saying, "No, that's a bad idea." Well, no, Marilyn, trust me, it is a good idea. So,
yeah.
And that's, did you want to say something?
Well, I was going to say, and that's been how many years y'all been working together now? You guys started the ministry in 2015. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So 10 years of doing this full time. Is that right?
10 years for me full time. Marilyn's primarily the stay-at-home mom, and she does participate in the content and speaks with me some, but Marilyn's primarily at home.
One of the episodes later on in the series is talking about the role of the church, the role of other voices in your life. Because my husband, Martin, and I, we were exactly that couple that thought, oh, we don't want to air our dirty laundry. Like, how can we want help in our marriage, but we don't want to be known by someone else. And kind of that fear of being found out as people that struggle in their marriage. And so that was a big part of our story as well. So you have so many chapters of so many different ways that the grace of God and the gospel can infuse our marriages. I thought we'd pick two of them. And people definitely need to grab the book. It's in the show notes and all of that. But two areas that you guys mention, and they're kind of a bit of extremes here. One would be grace in the day-to-day, and then the other one would be grace for the unforgivable. For the, I say unforgivable, the seemingly unforgivable, as you can probably imagine. So grace in the day-to-day, what is that? What did you mean by that? And what does that look like?
Oh, we got a story from yesterday, don't we, Brad?
We got a story. Hey, that's why it said day-to-day, babe. It's every day.
Well, taking our son to college yesterday, and he forgets things and loses things. Really, he's like the absent-minded professor, but he's a great young man. And we were getting ready to leave to take him to college, and I was telling him all these things and loving on him and telling him how much I loved him. I'm like, even if you do lose everything, you're just a joy. And then I couldn't find my keys. And I held us up for like, I made us 30 minutes late to get into UK, and everybody's looking for my car keys. And I'm like, it's really, really funny that it's on me. And
the thing is, I was stressed, and Marilyn was stressed, and like, we didn't handle it well. And we didn't handle it well in the moment. You know, we conflicted, and you know, it's like, Marilyn, we're late, you know? So she finds her keys. And then after she finds her keys, she stopped. Marilyn has a heart the size of Alaska. So she sees a neighbor. So she stops and talks to a neighbor for 10 minutes while we're waiting at the end of the street. And so then I'm getting real frustrated. So we didn't handle it well in the moment, but we had a great day. Because of grace. It's just, we instantly just let it go. To cover an offense promotes love. You know, I was too strong with her. She was, you know, made us an hour late. She did bless our neighbor, though. That was sweet. So
when you say grace in the moment, and I got to tell you in a minute here, our story from yesterday as well, doing the very same thing, dropping our daughter off at college. But for the listener, when you say, and for us, when you say grace in the day-to-day, what do you mean? Does that mean like I'm supposed to overlook your sin, or I'm supposed to, I really just need to push it down. Like I'm angry, I'm frustrated, but grace is pushing it down and not saying anything and just letting it pass? Or what is it? Yeah. What is grace in that moment?
Well, one, it's to cover an offense promotes love, you know? And so we say, if it sticks with you, you've got to talk. You got to talk through it, and you got to work with it. You can't, you know, unaddressed issues get big and kill you. But if it's just the day-to-day stuff, to cover an offense promotes love. So, and like, because we're scripture says remaining sin's a reality. So none of us handle any day perfectly, ever. So if you don't get grace, you're going to have struggle every single day. I say grace to a marriage is like oil to an engine. Marriage won't run without it. You know, so for us, like yesterday, Marilyn didn't handle getting out the door well. I didn't handle the way I spoke to her about getting at the door well. We had a great—
Emotions were high because I'm sad about our son, and I'm sensitive, so him being a little stronger hurt my feelings. And I called him, and we talked through it, and we were like, hey, it's okay. We're on our way. That's all that matters. So grace doesn't mean you don't talk about things. Sometimes grace, that's actually being loving to talk about it, to not say anything and let it fester and build a wall. I mean, there are times I go to Brad and say, I really want to talk to you about this because we need to work towards restoration. I want to move towards you, not away from you. So, but it is in the extenuating circumstances of life, I do think to cover over an offense and let things go is so important. And that's kind of the grid we work it through. Is this an extenuating circumstance? This isn't a pattern of behavior. If we've got difficult challenges going on right now, hey, we just need to laugh about the little mishaps that we do and just let things go. I think that's so important in the day-to-day little things.
All right, I got to tell real quick. So my wife Rachel and I were driving to Tuscaloosa where we had dropped our oldest daughter off last weekend. And so we're driving 2 days ago back over for bid day. She's going through Russ. She's going to join a sorority. My wife and my mom were all in the same sorority, and my sister were all in the same sorority at Alabama. So the hope in our family was that she would go that same sorority. But there was a little bit of an anxiousness about it because she also liked this other one a whole lot too. We're on the phone with her on the way there, and she is telling us that she has decided that she wants to go the one that the whole family wanted her to go to that sorority. And she says, yes, that's what I'm going to do. So we're excited. We're like, oh, this is great. And I tend to have, vomit of the mouth, like word vomit. And so I said, it's so great, sweetie, that you did that because, mom and Dee Dee, her grandmother, had already bought you these gifts for Alpha Chi. And it starts coming out of my mouth. And Rachel looks at me with this look of like, you've got to be kidding me. It was supposed to be a surprise, these gifts. And I said, I'm so glad because they had already bought these gifts. And I was going to say so that now they don't have to take them back. But I have totally let the cat out of the bag. And I can see all over her face that she is just really unhappy with me. And I feel terrible. But here's the point. The point is she showed me so much grace because I did. I totally messed the moment up. And she needed about 15 minutes to just be really not happy with me. And then after about 15 minutes, she was like, hey, it's fine. It's going to be a great day, you know, we'll make the best of it. And it's just gifts. It's fine. And she'll still love the gifts. So, you know, she showed me a lot of grace when she could have really harbored on my idiocy and let me have it, you know.
You nailed it there because grace makes for a bad 15 minutes. A lack of grace makes for bad weeks and months. I mean, so literally it is. And we messed up. We didn't have a good 30 minutes, but we had a great day and we had a good morning. And what grace does, grace is our only hope. We can't have a relationship with God without forgiveness and grace, period. We can't have a relationship with each other without forgiveness and grace. Because of remaining sin, Christ had to die. And because of that, we have to forgive each other.
Well, Brad, take that a little bit further. How does the work of Christ on the cross on our behalf, how does it affect our marriages?
Yet sinners, Christ died for us. How are we supposed to love one another as Christ has loved us? While Marilyn Rhodes is a sinner, Brad is called to die for Marilyn Rhodes. While Brad Rhodes is a sinner, Marilyn Rhodes is called to die for Brad Rhodes. Why? To put the glory of the beauty of our Savior on display. And it's like, you know, we get so caught up in this, like we're the center of things. No, we are a conduit to display the beauty of the grace and forgiveness and sacrifice of Jesus to the world. We're not here for others to somehow enhance our lives by treating us some certain ways. So when the paradigm shifts to a while we're yet sinners mentality, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. Once we got grace, and we didn't get grace even in those first years when we started doing better, it was later as we understood the significance of grace and God's work in our life, and it changed the atmosphere in our home. And so when you get grace, like your example with your wife and us yesterday, instead of having a bad couple weeks, you might have a bad night and laugh about it the next day. You just get over everything so much faster. And I have to preach that verse to myself. I've got to be spending time with the Lord to be able to offer it. And so we might, on one of our date nights, there have been times where Brad has hurt my feelings at the beginning. And I think, I mean, I'll say that verse to him, well, I was a sinner. Christ died for me. And this, I'm not going to let our date be blown. Our marriages are so much bigger than us. I think as believers, if we showed gospel marriages to this lost world, it's opportunities to share. How do you do this? And then we can talk about Jesus.
And sin will have no dominion over you because you're under grace. And scripture says sin will have no dominion over you because you're under grace, not law. Sin will have no dominion over a marriage if the marriage is under grace. If the marriage is not under grace, the deficiencies of both parties will at best drop you in a stagnant coexistent relationship. That's at best.
And I think Jeff, you were going to ask them about exactly what you said about how are our marriages, what's the word for it? Just a living example of grace to a lost world. But before we go there, you know, the stories that both of y'all shared about college move-in day, if the theme of that was not making a mountain out of a molehill, you know, not letting something that was small be too big, what do you do when it actually is the mountain? What if we all know of things in marriages that are massive, whether it's breaches of trust, these really big issues that require sometimes more grace than we feel like we're able to show. What do people do then?
Well, one, grace is intervention as well. If you have an alcoholic husband or an alcoholic wife and you say, I'm just giving you grace and doing nothing, basically you're just watching them kill themselves. You know, so grace is, and if God doesn't desire emotional abuse, physical abuse, you know, you prioritize protection, but in infidelity and things like that, if there's not repentance and there's ongoing willful destructive sin, the marriage really doesn't have hope. However, we have seen the most beautiful redemption stories when repentance and grace meet to create some of the most beautiful marriages out of the ashes. I mean, so it's like one party gives grace while Christ died for me, then the other party is truly repentant. And sometimes that creates some of the most beautiful Christ illustrations.
It does. I think the key there is intervention. We need help. That's not a journey you can walk alone. You need to, it's so helpful. And we try to pair couples who are in that place with someone else who's been in that place. Couples who have recovered from an affair, or someone where there's been the loss of a child. Just recently, I connected another family because walking through tragedy like that, walking through unfaithfulness, it's with many advisors, victory is sure. Just, and the enemy wants us to feel alone. I'm the only one in this place, and to not get help. We all need help. We need the Lord, and we need other people in our lives speaking truth into us and helping us when we're walking these hard roads. So if that's someone that's listening, do not stand alone in it.
Yeah, because it's you know, the power of walking alongside a couple that's farther along the journey than you are, who walked the same path, to where a spouse can look at another spouse and say, how did you forgive him for that? Or how did you forgive her for that? I just don't think I have that ability to show that kind of grace. And that person be able to say, well, I didn't think I did either, but here's how the Holy Spirit showed up in my life. Or here's how I was able to slowly get through that season of our marriage where it seemed like it was going to be over. But you know, and not having, to your point, Marilyn, not having those relationships, if you're trying to figure that out just on your own, then you're probably not going to be able to muster up enough grace in and of yourself to be able to demonstrate that to a spouse who's really hurt you and there's been a lot of, you know, heartache and sin there. So, let me ask you guys this. Laura alluded to it a moment ago, but I'd love to hear from you how our marriages can actually be, a great, avenue through which evangelism happens, through the impact of Christians in the world through our marriages and a light to the world.
It's interesting you ask that, because the way Grace Marriage got started, Meryl and I worked with youth for about 9 years at our local church. They started asking us to do their premarital counseling. And I said, well, why do you want us to do it? They said, We want what you have. That looks fun. That's what we want. So we did one, we did another. You know, the next thing you know, I'm ordained pastor of marriage at our church, and I see we do premarital and crisis counseling and have no marriage structure or strategy. And I said, what a tragedy that churches would spend so much time on premarital and crisis and then not have a discipleship process that's normative. But when people see romance and beauty and laughter and sacrifice and grace, people are drawn to beauty. They just are. They're drawn to beauty. When marriages are beautiful, people are drawn to you. And when they're drawn to you, you can share them the source of why they're drawn to you, and it's not you.
Also, we're in a world that's child-centered. Everything seems to revolve around the kids. And we have four daughters and one son. They're looking at us. And that's, they're going to repeat what they see. And I've got four daughters. If I'm being a good mom at the sacrifice of our marriage, I'm not being a good mom because I'm not exemplifying to them what they need to see in a wife. And so I think that is a piece that we've got to fight against in our culture too, is the marriage comes before all these children's things. We've got five kids. So there have been lots of times we've had to miss kids' games to go on a date, but they know mom and dad's marriage is a priority. We're going to be at most of their games. We're going to be at most of their stuff, but the world doesn't revolve around them. And it's actually better for them to know that. And now our oldest daughter is married and they go on a date once a week because that's what she saw. So I think we can pass it on to the next generation, just literally our families. If our marriage outside of our relationship with Christ, your marriage has to be a priority. You've got to make space for it. That's why we say grace plus intentionality is how we can show this world what God designed our marriages to look like, is a picture of the gospel. So it's for our children. It's for people around us. I think it's so important. And then people can say, how do y'all have such a good marriage? And we can say, it is only Christ, because we were a mess. Without him, we couldn't display this. And then people have come to know the Lord through that. There are couples that have come to know Christ through grace marriage. And oh, that's our longing, is that people see the love of Christ on display.
And it's, and our vision is that the paradigm of how marriage is done is completely changed. Complacency, stagnancy, child-centered society, marriage prioritized. As one preacher said, if anything comes ahead of your marriage other than Jesus, your marriage will slowly die over time. I mean, there's a reason there's such a high divorce rate and the marriage is seen as ball and chain or archaic or traditional. It's because we hadn't been doing it right. But when people date, they enjoy each other physically. They laugh. They have a blast. They give each other grace. They realize marriage is about the best gig God's ever given them, and that wasn't good for man to be alone. And then people are like, they want to tell everybody, because it's like, I can't tell you how much better my life is now that I really enjoy Marilyn than it was our first year when she didn't even like me.
That's so good. Well, thank y'all. We could talk to y'all for hours. But let me encourage our listeners, pick up the book, The Grace Marriage. And then I'm assuming you guys have a website they can go to as well. What would that be?
It's gracemarriage.com. And what we've learned is marriage doesn't do well on autopilot. So when you go to gracemarriage.com, you'll have a structure and you'll have a pathway to get on to grow your marriage consistently. And if your local church doesn't have an ongoing marriage ministry, you know, bring it there. And if your church has one, get involved in it.
Yeah, and this whole conversation has set us up so well for our next episode, where one of the greatest means of showing grace to your spouse is through the things that we say, the words we use. And we have Dave and Ann Wilson joining us, who are wonderful and just hilarious. And so I'm excited about our next episode. But thank you guys so very much for joining us.
Dave was in Owensboro last week with us, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he was actually in our marriage group, our Grace Marriage group on Friday.
Oh, that's awesome. They are a wonderful couple, and it's fun to get to spend time with you guys and then them next week. So we feel like the blessed ones here to get such great input from you guys and so many others. So thanks again for joining us, and tune in next week as we spend some time with the Wilsons.